to use our time wisely today, because we have just been informed in all the committees that sit today that a tough part is a tough question. There is a memorial service. We lost one of our colleagues, Honorable Nyalunga, so there is a memorial service today at the old assembly. I'm not sure whether it's because of the first day, because members, what time is the memorial service?
12.
It's at 12. So, we'll try by all means to say, whatever we do, let us wrap up around those times, 12, 10 past 12, so that you can go and join the memorial service. But otherwise, a very good morning to you all, and welcome back to Parliament after a long, long break. I know it has been a very tiring break, especially on the side of the honourable members. But fortunately, everyone still looks good. Everyone is glowing. It means it's one of the things that we've been enjoying, going out there, campaigning, and making sure that we've got the elections that run well, as they did. Thank you very much, DG and your delegation. We are saying maybe we're all on the ground strategizing for the new term or for this quarter that is starting, and the department seems to be very energetic. I think it's for the first time we see such a huge delegation coming before us. Thank you ever so much. It shows that, let us say, the commitment and the willingness to come in. I don't want to use the word account, but the first of the matter is we are here to account on what it is that you have done, more especially on the first quarterly report, because that is where we need to look at the summary of everything that was done in the year 2015-16. Yes. Look at those targets. Tell us if ever, as we see some of the targets that were not well achieved, fully achieved, what were the challenges in moving forward. But one other thing that I think I like most today is that it's very good when we look at these quarterly reports together, like we're going to be doing today. So it's going to be the fourth quarterly report, then we go to the first quarterly report, because we need to look and we know this continuity that the department is having, more especially on the issue of targets. As the control committee, we have done our work, we've looked through the APPs both the years, we know exactly what it is that we are tracking down as we are here in this meeting. So it's very interesting even to look at the manner of the targets that are being set, as to say, if it was not achieved, what were the challenges and how are you transferring to the next year, so that to the following year, so that we see the department that it's continuing on what it has done. So we're very eager to listen to all of those. And looking at both the performances, the financial and the non-financial ones, we're very interested. We want to hear what is it that you are coming up with, DG. And the link that you have with all these documents that our department and the committee is looking at, your outcome number one of your delivery agreement, what is it? Because we always say as the portfolio committee, the core duty and the core thing that you always look at is that we deliver quality education in our public schools. What stops us from doing that? If not, what, you know, are we doing it well? If there are challenges, if there are areas where we're performing well, those are the things that we'll be looking at. We know we're driven by MVP. We've got our targets towards 2030. What is it? Are we in good track, on good track towards that? So those are the things that we'll be looking at today. We are going to be starting with the fourth quarter report, then the first quarter report, then with the second chance, definitely it forms part of those reports, but we'll be happy to hear that report as to say, having introduced it, is it working? Are our learners benefiting? Because we're always concerned with that number of learners that suddenly get lost in the system when they can make it, they cannot make it for metric. Then, honourable members, we'll have to look at the program starting from today onwards on the for the rest of the year. It has been circulated. We'll hear the views and whatnot, because we are working against the APP that we have adopted as a committee from the department as to say these are the key strategic areas that you must be looking at when we interact with the department. So from here moving forward, we'll be working on the things that we have agreed upon. So that's how the program for today stands. And I'm saying it's quite long and very interesting, but we need to manage time the way that come 12 o'clock or quarter past at least will be done, so that you can go and join the memorial service that the parliament has just organized. Let me welcome you all then. Mr. Brown, I'm not sure whether there are any apologies that you have for the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we have received apologies from Honourable Boshoff, Honourable Van der Walt, Honourable Majeke, and Honourable Simons. I've also been informed that Honourable Mokoto and Honourable Majeke will be joining us a little bit later because they've had issues at the airport this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, allow me today not to start with introductions. We'll just bend on the DG as he leads the discussion, whoever is going to be presenting, then let us introduce ourselves as the meeting goes on. It's quite a huge delegation. We are quite many. The house is full. I know it will take more of the time. Maybe the DG can just highlight, the leaders of the case or whatever, but let us not do that introduction as we always do. And I think we know each other now. Mostly we know each other. There are very few new faces that you might not be knowing, DJ. Yeah. Can I then hand over to you to lead this discussion? We'll start with the fourth quarterly report. You do the presentation. It's fine. Let's start with the fourth quarter report. We entertain it, we discuss it, then we move to the second to the first quarter report. Over to you, DJ.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the committee, thank you very much, and colleagues. Chair, as you correctly indicated, we brought in all the line functions, all the seven branches are represented here, and colleagues will introduce themselves as we respond to questions. So I'm not going to take much time. Just to confirm that we'll start with the fourth quarterly report, 2015-2016, and then go to the first quarterly report of 2016-2017, and then the last presentation will be results of the National Senior Certificate plus the second chance. That will be presented as one, or delivered as one presentation. The first two presentations will be done by Mrs. Kavani, who will take us through the first presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, management from the Department of Basic Education. The purpose of today is to present the fourth quarter report on the output of the department against the predetermined objectives.
Can I just say, PG, it should be very important if you know the position you have and is holding in the department. So as you introduce yourself, as we speak, if we can get that, it would be very important. Thank you very much.
Mrs. Kavani is the acting director for strategic planning, monitoring and evaluation in this department. She's always been the deputy director accompanying the director who's left for Uma Lucy, and she's now acting in that position.
Thank you, Chairperson. The fourth quarter report, the purpose of this report is actually to outline to Parliament the output of the the department against the predetermined objectives for the annual performance plan of the financial year 2015-16. Also is to report the department's expenditure for the fourth quarter 2015-16. As you know, the department is divided according to five programs. Program one is administration, two, curriculum, which is the core of the department, together with teacher education, human resource. Program four is planning, information and assessment. Program five is education and resource. The indicators for 2015-16 were 30, and of the 30 indicators, only four were unachieved, 24 were fully achieved, and two of them were partially achieved. Output for Program 1. We had four indicators in Program 1. Of the four indicators, all the indicators were fully met. Basically, the achievements for Program 1 are as follows. The department has been able to provide bursaries as well as hold all the administrative requirements as according to DPSA. The Department of Education has been able to meet all the requirements, has been able to attend to all legal issues pertaining to administrative requirements. All grievances, disputes have been fully attended to by the department as expected and as according to the regulations as DPSA has set for the department. The legal services, on a continuous basis, the Office of the Minister, the Office of the DG is inundated with concerns, letters from the community, queries, dissatisfaction. As a result, those are attended to by the department. There's even a deadline of 7 days given to members to attend to all the queries within a stipulated 7 days. That's how the return rate of the management of the department is expecting the administration to go within the Department of Basic Education. With regards to legal services, 10 pieces of legislation have been interrogated in the last financial year. Continuous media interaction is going on in the department at the moment. For the past financial year, it stands at 72 interviews that were held on various topics that relate to education. Continuous contact is kept on social media by the department, especially that we service young people who continuously are on social media. Therefore, the use of Twitter, the use of Facebook is on the high in the department, and that is monitored on a regular basis. The internal audit of the department continues to provide services. In the last financial year, it completed two approved audit reports and one verification report as per the DPME requirement. The department wishes also to report that we continue to have engagements and agreements with the global education system. The department currently has cooperative agreement with China, with Cuba, with the French embassy. Of interest, I believe that the Chinese embassy has also had good relations with the department such that it donated a planetarium which was opened on the 7th of March 2016. These are some of the relations that we keep as the Department of Education and that benefits the education system. Furthermore, we continue to meet all the requirements as expected. All the reports are tabled in Parliament as expected. All the reports are also tabled at DPME and National Treasury as expected. Research. The department continues to engage in research work. Programs are being evaluated. The programs that we embark on in the department on a continuous basis evaluates the impact of these programs. In the past financial year, CHEPS was one of the programs that we evaluated. The National School Nutrition Program was also part of the program that were evaluated within the Department of Basic Education. Going through to the second program, Program 2, we have 8 indicators in Program 2. Of the 8 indicators, we were unable to meet one of the indicators, which is the Karigude program. The Karigude program had a target of 430 learners completing the Karigude program. And at the end of the financial year, we had not yet gotten the results of those that have completed. That is why the indicator is at a red. The reason is that the Karigude program starts in September, and it runs up to the next financial year. As a result, at the time of the end of the financial year, the lab that we use to evaluate the completion of the Karigude learners was not complete yet. It goes through a process of evaluation by SAQA, South African Qualifications Authority. Therefore, at the time of the financial year, the program has just ended, and by the end of June, that is when SAQA has finished evaluating the Karigude program. That's why it was recorded as not achieved, as a red, as you see it on the screen. The one other indicator is the National Senior Certificate, which is partially achieved. The target was 76, and the indicator was met at 72.1 after the supplemental exam. Of the 646,000 learners, 465 learners completed the NSC. And this is as a result of the high-order questions that have been developed by the department to up the standard of education, to up the standard of understanding, to up the standard of understanding and cognitive development in the learners. Therefore, the standard was raised, the bar was raised from the last questioning type in the last examination for the NSC. In the program 2, members may note that one of the major concentration of the department is on reading. Reading is one of the areas where the department is concentrating on to see to it that we improve on reader. Early grade reading is one impact program that the department is emphasizing on so as to improve the reading capacity of our learners, which impacts on everything in terms of learning. Therefore, reading is one of the areas that is given one of the highest concentration in this financial year from the end of from last year, continuing through to this financial year. Rural education, a team of research has been developed to focus on the development of rural policy, and it's one of the areas that is actually being looked at thoroughly. That's why policy development is at the critical core of rural education at the moment. Incremental introduction to African languages. It was piloted in 2015-16 with 264 schools across the 9 provinces. Further report and progress will be shown in the first quarter in terms of where we are currently in 2016-17 with regards to incremental introduction of African languages. With regards to LCSM, currently workbooks have been printed and delivered for the 2015-16 financial year, and they have been delivered to schools. This also includes the delivery of Braille workbooks to our 22 special schools across the country. With regards to mathematics, science and technology, it is one of the areas of high focus. In the last financial year, the department provided ICT resources in the form of tablets, in the form of laptops, in the form of software for math, science and technology to support the teaching of mathematics, methodology of FET teaching in mathematics. Furthermore, They ran workshops. The department ran a number of workshops as well to equip teachers with regards to technology issues. Technology is one of the areas that is being improved, that is being looked at as an area of growth within the department. 136 physical science laboratories in Mpumalanga were supplied with consumables, equipping of the science labs, so that learners are able to do their science experiments and be able to take interest in science subjects is being looked at with a critical eye by the department. At the moment, 17,000 learners were also funded to take part in the Science Olympiad. Therefore, interest in science issues is being built up by the department so that we increase the number of learners in the math and science. Camps for technical high schools. Currently, it is at grade 10. Grade 10 was being prepared in 2015-16 that we should start with the implementation of CAPS technical subjects, which started in 2016. And more report will be given in the first quarter with regards to that. The department has also provided a platform whereby learners are able to get into the system, a platform where they're able to engage on CAPS for technical subject issues. They're able to look at the courses and the subject and the information that is being taught. They're able to go into the platform and be able to access that. Furthermore, training is on a continuous basis for teachers with regard to CAPS issues. The three-stream model is on the go. Introduction of the three-stream model is undertaken by the department through the focus school. As indicated, Karigude, as I've indicated in the presentation where it has an indicator, there were 326 learners that were targeted, and a report will be given in terms of what has unfolded in the 2016 financial year at the end of the audit process. With regards to ICT, the department has been able to focus on providing digital resources. It has been able to provide access to broadband. It has been able to provide digital devices. And one may wonder what happens with regards to the digital devices that have been provided by the department. Is there any form of security, is there any form of taking care of these devices? Is there any form of training? Yes, through the obligation as indicated in the slide, the department is on a continuous basis has what is called an universal service and access obligation. This is a system where the department actually goes through before a school gets connectivity, before a school gets any form of devices. It goes through a process of training. It goes through a process of being vetted. Strong rooms are being checked and they're being provided, and schools are being checked as to whether are they able to access. Will they be able to access? Do they have all the right things for them to be able to be e-ready? And those schools that are currently being built in the norms and standards, it has been included. All this that is necessary for having ICTs in the schools is being provided through the norms and standards, and it is set before the schools are actually established. Program 3. We have 7 indicators in Program 3. Only 2 indicators are in the red. And the 2 indicators that are in the red, 1 is the percentage of principals appointed on the basis of competency assessment. This is one of the areas that we were unable to perform, and it is as a result of the test, the continuous negotiations that are continuing with the ELRC with regards to the competency assessment. Nonetheless, the department is on a program whereby they are professionalizing teaching. And as a result, competency assessment becomes a natural, it's going to become a natural phenomenon because of the professionalization of the teaching profession, which is something that is continuing. It is under the continuous teacher development program, which teachers are expected to go through, where they'll also be expected to go through a continuous process of developing themselves through taking courses that will award them points. And at the end of those points, in the 3 years, they can be said that they are professional teachers, they have upgraded themselves. And it, one of the other things, which is a self-diagnostic, is also one of the areas where teachers will be expected through this professionalization to equip themselves and to be able to verify as to whether their pedagogical skills are on point. Is it on par, and is it servicing the learners accordingly? So those two indicators have not been met, and the second indicator, which is on teacher self-diagnostic assessment, is as a result of it being on a pilot program. It was a pilot program that was started last year, and only a particular number of teachers were able to take part. Going through to program three, Funda Lushaka program. In the past financial year, we were able to produce 13,980 awards for Funda Lushaka, and of the 13,980 awards, the department has been able to place 93% of the bursary holders that went through Funda Lushaka. Furthermore, the department is also embarking on recruiting learners from rural areas through Funda Lushaka so that they're able to go back to the rural areas and service their homes back. A total of 1,074 applicants were recruited through the rural development program. This is just to show how many teachers that are under 30 were placed. A total of 9,000 teachers were placed who are under the age of 30. The Department of Basic Education is going through a quality integrated management system whereby educators are evaluated on a regular basis. We're providing monitoring of the provinces on a regular basis. All school evaluation. The schools are therefore also evaluated. In the last financial year, a total of 408 schools were at external evaluation. Of the 408, 254 were primary schools and 129 secondary schools, and we also had 6 special schools of the 22 also being evaluated last financial year. Teachers are continuously being acknowledged for their dedication and excellence, and the department holds a National Teacher Award where it was celebrated last year in the last financial year in February. Program four has 9 indicators, and the only indicator that was not met in program four is the ANA indicator. Due to the impasse, the ANA examinations not going through, and the indicator was therefore not met. Arrangements were made with National Treasury. The department wrote to National Treasury. The department wrote to Auditor General, as well as the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, to inform them about the status of the ANA. And as a result, the ANA was not audited in the last financial year. Examinations were run. The National Senior Certificate were run. 44,000 candidates wrote, and of the 646 candidates, 465 of them passed the matric examination. The final exam in December was at 70.7 passed. And after the supplementary examination, the results stand at 72%. regards to the ANA examination, the department went through in the last financial year the process of remodeling of ANA, and several processes took place whereby sessions were held with different officials, academics, unions, provincial representatives to sit and work, a working group that sat and worked on the type of assessment that would take over the ANAS. Therefore, the processes were done through the last financial year. More report will be given in the quarter one with regards to progress on the ANAS. SACMEC, 7,046 learners participated in the SACMEC in the last financial year across all the 9 provinces. More information will also be given in the first quarter, though the results for the SACMEC are not released as yet. But a snippet will be given to the members with regards to the results of the SACMEC. We are seeing a great improvement in terms of the use of SSN, which was also part of the indicator. I mean, it says that a total of around 90% of schools are using SSN, which shows that the schools are really finding use for the process. And we stand at 98% of schools being able to load the information into the LURIS system. Therefore, there is great improvement with regards to the education management information systems within the department. At the end of February 2016, school furniture were delivered at 52%, and it is continuously being done. At the first quarter, we will give a report that shows the status of where we stand with regard to the delivery of school furniture. This had also benefited a total of 386 learners who also have been transported. That is at February. Learner transportation was also at 386 learners being transported. ACD, the placement of inappropriate schools in 2015 financial year stood at 138 schools being completed. 211 of them were with low learner enrollment and under the process of rationalization at the Eastern Cape provincial legislation. Sanitation at 412 schools that have been provided with sanitation, 573 schools that have been provided with water, and 294 schools that have been provided with electricity. With regards to quality learning and teaching campaign, the department is concentrating on the reading program. And drop all and read campaign are those that the department has been embarking on through the quality learning teaching campaign. Continuous support of the district is given by the department to see to it that the department assists the provinces through supporting the provinces to perform accordingly and for them to be able to support the schools. Therefore, the department has gone down to zoom on the support of that is given to districts, such that it is giving support also to the schools. Sixty officials were trained so that they assist in the training of schools, and furthermore, on-site visits by the national department were made. Fiscal coordinators were taken through to the schools to be able to provide assistance in the schools and to support schools in terms of the work that has been done in schools in terms of school improvement plans and other things. So the department has gone down through to the district to take the district down to the schools and in the form of supporting schools. The department continuously is in touch with the community through the call center as well as the presidential hotline. The presidential hotline evaluates all the departments in terms of how they respond to the queries that are being taken to the department. There are some queries that are taken through directly to the president and they are taken through to the various departments to respond. The Department of Education was at the highest resolution rate of 100% between the last quarter. And it shows that the department is taking eager concentration or interest in supporting and in responding to the queries from the public. This is just to show what is happening with regards to the response rate through the call center. Not only through the call center, the department also supports community queries through the web inquiries, through walk-ins, those that come directly to the department, and through different mediums of getting in touch with the department. Furthermore, we have completed the 2017 school calendar, and it has been gazetted and on the 30th of October 2015. 2016 school readiness, 931 schools were visited to check the readiness during the school reopening in the first school quarter. Program five only has two indicators, and of the two indicators, all of them have been met. 9 million learners have been provided with food, NSNP, through the NSNP program, daily nutrition to 21,000 schools in the country that are at quintile 1 to 3. Deworming program is continuing through the department and through the assistance of the Department of Health. The human papilloma virus vaccination continues, and the department and the Department of Health are in contact to see to it that the program continues. With regards to safety issues in the department, the draft charter for harmful religious practices, as well as the national strategy on cyberbullying, all this legislation has been looked into, the policies have been looked into and reviewed in the last financial year. School estate board took place in various provinces and in preparation for the final that took place in the first quarter of 2016-17, which was held in the 30th and to the 2nd of July. Of interest, social cohesion holds very interesting engagements with learners. One of them, which was the mood court, the department took learners through to the international competition of the Moot Court, where learners obtained first place in the Moot Court Award that was held in the Netherlands. Our learners from South Africa scooped the first place in these competitions, and this is one of the areas where the department accompanied learners. The Moot Court is one of the very interesting programs run by the department, which is run chairperson in the court setting, where there are actual judges from the High Court who proceed over such engagements. So learners are exposed to court systems, they are exposed to legislation, and they are able to argue cases in the presence of very esteemed legal bodies. This is one of the areas that the department actually takes a leading role in. Albert Ngosi Luthuli is one of the programs where learners are able to research on history issues. They are given topics, researchable topics that they go through. Bill of Rights activities, learners go through activities that teaches them on active citizenry and national identity. The department was able to hoist flags, and this is done in collaboration with the Department of Arts and Culture. It is the role of the Department of Arts and Culture, but the department partners to assist the department to see to it that the flags are hoisted throughout the schools in the country. In the last financial year, the Department of Arts and Culture provided 322 flags that were installed in the different schools in the Eastern Cape. This is the end of the quarter report on the predetermined objectives of the department. I'll hand over to the CFO to do the financial report.
It's Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. For the 2015-16 financial year, the department was allocated 21.286 billion, and it was spread over or split as per it was indicated on that slide. And then the total expenditure of the department was 20.796 billion, and as we know, the bulk of the amount is on conditional grants and transfers. And the budget is broken down into five programs of the department, and the only two programs in the department that spend a bit lower is Program 2 and Program 4. And the reason in Program 2 is due to the EPWP grant of the department. There were changes that were effected on how information has to be submitted, and there was a delay in finalizing the calculations and the late submission of data to the EPWP due to these changes. And the main problem was the delay in submitting the certified copies of EPWP. And to ensure that this does not happen again, the department held a meeting with EPWP units in the Department of Public Works, and the two departments agreed to amend the application form for volunteers to meet the categories that are required by the EPWP electronic system. And then in terms of Program 4, the underspending in this program is mainly on the RCD program. And the reason for the underspending was the process of consultation on rationalization of schools, which took longer than anticipated. And it impacted on the spending trend. But the consultation on rationalization has been completed in some of the areas. And then in terms of economic classification, that is the spending in terms of the different areas, and there was a bit of an over-expenditure under goods and services, as well as transfers and subsidies. And the reason for the goods and services, why there was a overspending over on that item, is due to the payment of school furniture. But here is a matter of allocation of budget, because there was enough funding under the RCD, but the bulk of the budget was allocated under capital. So we have engaged National Treasury on the matter, and we'll ensure that during the adjustment budget in the current financial year, for example, that funding is shifted to the right area. But if you look overall, it was not really a big problem. And then in terms of transfers and subsidies, the over expenditure on this item was due to transfers to foreign and international organizations, which are made in dollars and euros. And as we are aware, last year there was that there was a lot of fluctuation, especially towards the end of the financial year, of the exchange rate. And even on this one, it's due to that fluctuation that we ended up overspending. And then we had also had a discussion with Treasury on the matter. But what we will do, we will monitor the exchange rate and ensure that around the time that we are supposed to transfer, we get Treasury approval to increase, if it's necessary, to increase the transfer amount. And then payment of capital assets, the bulk of the allocation on this item is in respect of RCD, and I've already explained the issue and for the RCD under expenditure. And then here is just economic classification in more detail. And those are the items that we have. And some of the reasons for under expenditure, the transfers and subsidies I've already explained, and the capital assets. And then under the earmark funds, the underspending on this item is due to the ANA, the impasse between teacher unions and the department that were explained earlier. So the ANA did not take place. But you will notice that there is expenditure that took place. The reason for this is that when the decision was taken not to write ANA, the department had already incurred expenditure in terms of setting papers, appointing an external company that registered learners, and so on. So expenditure was incurred on the item. And then there was also over expenditure on departmental operations, and this was related to the setting and moderation of grade 12 examinations. And we are engaging the relevant unit as well to ensure that we work through them and ensure that we don't overspend on this one. And then under projects, the overspending on the project is due to payment of the integrated exam system that was higher than projected. And even on this one, we are also ensuring that we shift funds in time to ensure that there is no over expenditure. And then here is just the details of the various earmarked funds in the department, as well as the conditional grants. And under earmarked funds, NIDU has also had an overspending. The others, like EPWP, have already explained that, and the ANA. And then for NIDU, it was mainly on compensation of employees that was a bit higher than expected. Conditional grants, we are showing, all of them are showing over expenditure. But this one is not necessarily over expenditure in our books. What happens is provinces, when they submit their reports, they even include the part that they are paying for themselves from their side. Or when they receive rollovers in the provinces, they show it as a total, what we transferred plus the rollovers. But because we are not transferring the rollover amount, they get it from provincial treasuries. They include it as one in their books. Hence, it's showing over expenditure. But in our case, they did not overspend. We did not overspend in our own books. I already explained that. And then here is the transfers to public entities and other transfers. And this one's also, I've already explained them, that it was due to the rand dollar exchange rate. That's why we overspent on this item. And there's also the households. The expenditure on this item is in respect of lease gratuity and payment of the officials that exit the government. And the item is not budgeted for. Normally, the arrangement is that as and when there's expenditure on this, we shift funds. But it was a bit higher than what we could, what we had shifted. And the recommendation is that the committee accept the first quarter outputs of the department and on plan targets. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I thought that Gigi would come in at the time. I think she is satisfied with the presentations that have been made. Thank you so much, colleagues from the department. Honorable members, that was the presentation of the fourth quarterly report, which I will open up for engagement, discussions, questions, wherever there is a need. But before I open up, DG and colleagues, I think all of us, we always say our main objective is we are here to see and witness the quality education delivered to our schools, to our learners all day. Yes, we have got to the report, but really for me, looking at the report, where's around 2 and 3, the rate that we're still there, where everything that you have reported, yes, it contributes to quality education, how are we going to deliver that? But for me, when we say we haven't done well, specifically, number one, on the issue of competency of teachers, the principals, where we always say a school is a school because of its leader, you know. Looking at the percentage, 7% versus the target of 75%. For whatever reasons, I know we are still going to discuss it, but it says there is something that we need to do. You know, when we talk of competence, we talk of the quality, a quality kind of a teacher that you say. I'm not doubting that they are not, you know, they are qualifications and whatever, but as per the targets that you have put as the department, to say you only achieved 7 of that, if such a report can fall on the hands of whoever, even outside the country, one of the things that can be said is that we don't have quality leaders in South Africa because they couldn't even achieve the target that is there and it's too low. Maybe there will be a reason. Talking of self-diagnostic assessment, where we are not doing well, you know, when we have instruments like IQMS, of which we still need to hear whether there is something that we are doing, you know, what is it that we have in place then to make sure that the arm of the soldiers that are there you know, we've got that confidence to say something is happening and you can assure us of that. For me, it really talks to the core of the core business of the department is to say, what is it that we do? Yes, we can have quality curriculum and whatever, but are we able to deliver? Because it should talk directly to one of the reasons that we have come up with is to say, we did not do well because we have increased the cognitive level at the end of grade 12, you know. Even there, we're talking of quality teaching and what that will lead to us getting those quality results at the end of the day. I was just mentioning, I also have some other questions from the presentations that have been made, but let me open up to you, honorable members, to question, comment, and make input from the presentation that you have just received. Honorable Davis? I think you are the only one today. Honorable Mguni, Honorable Batson, Honorable Simang. Let me do this now. I thought I'll be clever enough to remember this. Honorable Davis, Honorable Mguni, Batson, Simang, Mkoto. What's all? Oh, I'm sorry not to see you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the Department for the comprehensive presentation. I've just got some questions on the National Senior Certificate target. As you say in the presentation, the target was 76, and after supplementary results, the Department achieved 72.1. And the reason you give is because of the increase in higher order questions and the cognitive demands of the papers. I'm just trying to grapple with this to get a better understanding of it, because I know we met last year with Umalusi and we went through quite a significant adjustment process of the marks. So is it really true to say that it was because of the higher cognitive demands of the papers, considering that we did go through that adjustment process? I'm just wondering at what point we start to acknowledge that the decrease in the pass rate is actually a result of a decrease in the performance of the system, instead of manipulating the statistics. I'm not saying that the statistics are being manipulated, but I'd just like to get a bit of a handle on it, because I think at some point we do have to acknowledge that the system is declining and the performance of the system is declining, and it's not just about the changes in the demands of the papers. The second question is, I'm a little bit disappointed that we only focus on the pass rate when we look at the targets for the department, because there's other important targets around the National Senior Certificate results, such as the bachelor passes, such as the maths and science passes. We know that the NDP, for example, is a big focus on maths and science. Would it not be a good idea for the department to focus on other indicators besides the matric pass rate and look at some of those other indicators? And another indicator that I think that would be quite useful to look at would be the dropout rate. We know that roughly half of learners who enter grade 1 don't make it through to grade 12. So shouldn't we have a target for the department to try and retain learners all throughout the system, so that we can measure the department on that basis? My second question relates to the selling of posts on slide 27. It says that there are deeper investigations underway. I'm just wondering if you could give us an update on the status of those deeper investigations and where we are with that process. And then slide 37, you mentioned SACMEC and that it will be released to the public in June 2016. It is now August. So I'm just wondering, what is the delay in releasing the SACMEC results, and when can we expect the release of those results? And then just on the expenditure, I see that NEDU overspent by 3.2 million rand. I'm just wondering why NEDU overspent specifically, why that entity overspent. And I'd like to know, what is NEDU currently working on at the moment? I know that there's been a few reports, some have been released and some haven't, but what is NEDU currently working on at present? Thank you.
much, Chairperson. Good morning to all by ESA. This issue of targets not reaching is a cause for concern, because it is us who come with these targets. Just imagine, you say you will go 5 kilometers, and after a kilometer, you say you are tired. You have put it yourself. No one forced you to do this. Then, in a short term, what are the plans that you have? For example, we have made mention of one, there's this issue of Funza Lushara, 93% of learners have been placed. What is the short term plan for the 7%? There's issue of the visit to monitor school management in 6 provinces. What status do you have? What report do you have on the status of this management of schools that you visited? And lastly, Chairperson, is the question of this ANA on the finances, that the underspending was because there was this challenge of ANA, which we kept on saying, was it going to be possible? And the department said, yes, it was going to be possible. Do we have any measures? Because we're now towards the same ANA. Okay? We're going towards the same ANA. That we might have a problem. Any short-term measures to avoid underspending again? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me first to say thank you for the comprehensive report that we have received. It is comprehensive because it gives us clarity on all what we have done and supposed to do. As other former speakers, I'm also worried about the targets that are not reached. And with this curriculum as number one, you once reported that we are phasing it out. And I don't know how far is phasing it out and replacing it with the second time learner or second chance. And now, having this dilemma of not reaching the target in curriculum, are you still in the process of phasing it out? Are you going to phase it out as it is with these targets that were not reached, results that are not out, and we don't know where are we with it? Secondly, I'm very concerned with balance of forces on some resource distribution, how we distribute. You will notice that in connectivity, we are sharing a document here. I'm sure it's slide 17, whereby connectivity, a total of 17,000 learners, Eastern Cape Zone 900, Free State 1,600. And you go down, you see that there are provinces which do not feature in the space. Then you get provinces that are given high numbers of learners to participate in this, whereas there are provinces who do not get the fair chance to participate in this thing, in these resources. 52% furniture delivered is also an area of concern. I would like to know which provinces are mostly affected
from these 48% that didn't receive the finish. On ACIDI, it's just for interest sake, would like to get clarity. How far are we in reality from our target that we set on ACIDI schools? How far are we now? Lastly, Chairperson, the underspending on PWP grant is a concern. People in PWP is so important for us. We have so high rate of unemployed outside there. Then we understand, instead of opening up for our poor people to benefit in such programs, then we say we have understand on it. It's a real concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My concern is on Program 2, where we are informed that there has been a lower spending. I'm very concerned because Program 2 deals, among others, with the improvement of teaching of critical subjects such as math and science, where we don't seem to be winning the war. So I would like to know, why are we underspending here when in fact we should be prioritizing this program? Thank you very much.
Good morning, colleagues. Thank you, Chair. I know that I was not here when the report was presented, but I did prepare for this meeting to see, based on the report as forwarded before the meeting. My first question, Chairperson, relates to the issue of the financial just to check in the report on the expenditure side of the report. I think it was going to be reasonable if the department could have given us an indication of how much have we spent for this fourth quarter. Because, like, if you look at the report, it tables the, you know, the annual budget. It does not give you the breakdown of exactly like on each program. Like, we understand that at the beginning of the year you highlighted that the budget was 21 billion and something, and then per quarter we expand, and then it was going to be helpful for me to understand on each of the categories that we have outlined, how much have we spent, how much we have underspent on it, because it becomes easier to even assess, because it can still happen that you did not underspend in the quarter that you are reporting on. You had underspent in the previous quarter, so it impacts because you put your report in a bundle. So I think in future, what should happen is that you must break it down. Per quarter, when you report about the items, like you are reporting on the other non-financial information on performance, you must do it the same way. That's my proposal. The other part that I wanted to check on relates to the issue of accountability. In the report, it's highlighted that the senior managers, they have signed the performance agreement or contract with the department. And you also come across this issue of failure to meet the targets. So what are the consequences? How are, how do the managers account for that underperformance? And then I wanted to check from the department, because if you look, there are specific areas where you find that there is a recurrence of underperformance or under expenditure. Like you look at ACID. On ACID, it's so depressing because it's the bulk of the under expenditure is on capital projects. And then the bulk of over expenditure is on generalized items, of which I want to agree with the chairperson with what she was saying earlier when I arrived here, when she said that some of the areas are our core mandates, and those are the ones that you should be worried about when they lag behind. So I wanted to check how far have you whipped DG, the underperformers? And then also, how do you, I know that there is a separation of power, between the province and national. And then, you find that also there are certain aspects, like the SSMs and other things that makes the system to be more functional, and that are able to, that we are assessed upon all the time. Like the issue of competence, principals being employed on their own competencies. It seems as if sometimes it's something that people will just volunteer to do. It's not something that they are obligated to do, because it can't be. When you go to that hard checking, you find that it's only less than 1,000, less than 300 people that did the competency test before they were employed, and we employed about 1,000, more than 1,500 principals, but only 222, they took those tests, and we allow it to happen, and we still talk about it and say that it's still going to be discussed. So I think the department must put their foot down. The other part is relates to the issue of infrastructure. On the report, there is somewhere where you talk about the eradicating inappropriate infrastructure. And there is somewhere also where I outlined that you have reached the targets in terms of sanitation, water, electricity. I want to check that part. Does that relate to all the provinces, or it relates to only the ACID projects that you have had, or it constitute everything that that the department had to do, and whether it has catered for even the special schools? I don't see in the report, even though we have talked to the department about infrastructure for special schools, I don't see it being reflected in the report. Is it covered? The issue of sports also is not covered. Recreational facilities. The other point, Chairperson, relates to the issue on rationalization. We just come from the issue of, which is very painful, of banning of schools, right? And it mainly centered around the issue of consultation. Maybe if you can update us on the negotiations that are currently being, held to make sure that we deal with that part. To make sure that we conclude that part of rationalization and whether you are able to manage it properly. The other point that I wanted to raise, Chairperson, is the issue of the zero rating of municipal services. On that report there, you talk about those things. Is there a rescue plan that is in place to assist the school? There is somewhere where you talk about the National Education Excellence Awards, where you celebrate and recognize districts and schools. Can you update us on what is happening on that? What is the criteria of identify those schools for that award, and where are those schools and the district located? Chairperson, I'll come back in the next round.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered in some of the questions that I wanted to ask, like the need to overspending, the issue of furniture, the 52%, which is average in terms of, but I want to add in terms of that are we as the department looking at the issue of quality of the furniture that we are purchasing from the service providers? Because I've been to some of the schools who receive desks around January this year, but they are broken now because the quality of the wood that is used in terms of manufacturing those desks is of poor quality. We want to welcome the competency test for the appointment of principals, and further extends that it must not only be the principals that are subjected to competency tests, because even the HODs who are very critical because they are managing the curriculum that is given to our learners are supposed to be subjected to this, so that we make sure that we appoint right people for the right, for the correct job. And Chairperson, I'm also worried about the issue of security in schools. Somehow I've seen the other guy of weapons that are discovered at the school level, that our learners and teachers are not safe in our schools. So what are we doing as a nation in terms of addressing that? The IPMS is a very, very good program that was supposed to be helping us as individual educators in terms of identifying our gaps that exist within ourselves so that we can be developed. But I'm just worried about the attitude of our teachers, because when this IPMS was introduced, there was this 1% that people were looking at instead of looking at the expense of development. Because to me, I think the IPMS was meant for development purposes, not necessarily the 1%. But with our own teachers, how do we deal with the attitude of the teachers so that they can be able to be true? Be honest with themselves and give the good picture of how the IPMS is being done at school level. And lastly, with the NSP, NSNP, are we not having challenges within various provinces? In terms of, we really appreciate that so many learners are being fed, but let us go deeper and look at the challenges that are there. How do we address them? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. For me, DG and the whole delegation, there are things that we keep on reporting, discussing, but maybe it's time where we look at the solutions so that we discuss them once and for all. Like, for example, what the CFO has been saying, the way provinces are reporting is a challenge that will paint the department, the DBE. You know, it's changing the image of the DBE, but it's not your fault. You have just explained the issue of rollovers and what. it's not, you know. I know even the auditors themselves have got the style that they want you to report, the manner that they want you to report on, but should we keep on going back to, you know, falling on the same trap? Why, what is it that we can do differently? So that even in the report itself, because as it appears now, it's as if each department have overspent, you know. We know very well that it's not you. We need that reflection on the report. Let us see it. You know, it must be very much open so that at a glance we know what it is that we are dealing with here. We don't keep on going back to one and the same thing. Same thing with this issue of Karigudi. It's as if now you did not do well as a department, knowing very well that the program starts in September. Can't you find a way then of reporting to show that, not that you have overspent, understand, but it's still in progress, because, you know, seemingly we report in this same fashion now and again. We'll always go back to say Karigudi is not, you know, it's not, we are not doing well. We know very well the good fruit. That is why you are in a stage where we are saying we have overgrazed when it comes to the issues of Karigudi, because there's so much that we have done and achieved as a country. But now such a report will tell you, that is why you can even get that such a question as to say, are we towards the end of stopping Karigudi, where else we cannot even perform? But we know very well that there are good reports. There's so much that has been done. It's just the manner that of which we are reporting, of which I think we need to do something really when it comes to that. CG, on the issue of infrastructure, we've got norms and standards, of the minimum norms and standards when it comes to the issues of infrastructure. And we know that by the end of November, throughout the, yeah, we should have met those norms and standards. How far are we? Talking issues of sanitation, of water, electricity, improper structures, you know, those are the norms and standards that we have. What is it that you can say? Because we are preparing ourselves also to know where are we. Like reporting on land transport, colleagues, it's good. You can put whatever number. I don't know. I can't remember the number that has been put. But for me, again, and for whoever, it does not mean much to say we've achieved to transport 300,000 learners out of how many learners that I need of learner transport, you know. That is why I mean, sometimes the way that we are reporting is good, it's work that has been done, but if I can go out of this door and say, yes, the department has transported that number, and so, out of what? Who, how many I need? I will reach in there, you know. Let me go to National School Nutrition Program, NSNP. Yes, a lot has been done. It's keeping our learners at school. We are very proud of the program. But, DG, there is this point that you are ever, ever missing. Whenever we go out for our oversight, whenever we read even in the media and what, I don't know, but we need to up our standard again there as a department. The issue of kitchen storage of food, you know, is still a challenge in the country. Yes, we can provide food, we can provide nutritious food when it reaches the school. You go to those schools, you find those cabbages being kept there for a long time, and you wonder if it's still nutritious. You go there, you find them preparing this same food in the dust out there, you know. Yes, we have done a lot. We commend you as a department, but let us go further now. I think we're in that stage as to say, we've done, we've introduced these things, but how are we finalizing these things so that holistically, when you look at the program, we can all be here and say, yes, it does achieve what you want to achieve. Same thing with LTSM. The reports are good, the schools are getting whatever that has been procured. I like that one when we do that report, because it does not mean it's as to say we say 100% of textbook has been delivered. That translates to say each learner, there is a book for each learner in school. We need to talk of all those things as to say we keep on pumping our resources, but are we really reaching the target that we want to reach? We might have delivered that 100% of those test kits, but what is the situation down there as we reach the school, so that as we read our report, we know exactly what are we faced with as a country. Over to you, TG. You can respond on this because we're still going to another.
Yeah. Honorable members, thank you very much. So the difficulty that I have is that if we were to go blow by blow, responding to all these questions, we'll not be able to do the next presentations. But what I'm going to try and do is to request colleagues to spend less than 2 minutes doing their best in terms of what is humanly possible. Mr. Kujan, I'll give him 4 minutes because he represents two branches. Then each branch will have only 2 minutes so that we quickly go through the responses that are related to this question. I'll start with Mr. Kojan.
I fully understand the time, but what I always say with the quarterly report is where's the fourth one? We need some of this explanation. I know it can't be blow by blow. We can even request an extra time from, you know, from the head of the institution if ever we need another day to do these things. But I need to say, in that 2 minutes, if justice was delayed, because if not, we'll still come up with a follow-up question. That is why I say time is limited, but we can always stay around and see to it that when to get another session, because we need to understand some of these things. This is where we need to start and move on.
Yeah, I guess time management is part of the competency assessment of SMS members.
Yeah.
So they will do that.
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you very much. I'll try to avoid the current meeting in terms of time management. Firstly, to respond to the questions that have been raised by yourself, Chair, on us not having reached the targets, especially on Program 3, when we talk about the competence assessment processes of principals, as well as the self-diagnosis assessment, the process of the educators. Firstly, in the first one, when you look into the entire process, we know that province has been doing the competitive assessment without a policy. There was no uniformity around the matter. And the process that we embarked upon was for us to draft a policy on the standards for principalship, which also indicates clearly what are those indicators that needs to be met, just to ensure uniformity. finally, those standards for principalship are now there. On the 18th of March 2016, those were gazetted and sanctioned. But the key issue that delayed the processes was the fact that UNON started to say that this might be one of the areas of the condition of service. But the policies covers us because now you have a policy around this. Yes, indeed, we did set ourselves this particular target, and we wish to admit that we did not reach it because of the fact that of the processes that we entered into the department themselves. Because it was very, very important for us to have a policy and be able to guide the provinces accordingly. And I'm sure you are aware of that policy. If not, I'll ensure that you have it. On the second one, Chair, we still set ourselves high targets on the diagnosis assessment for teachers. We developed items, you know, and we digitized the items. We're ready to fully ensure that we cover all areas with regard to, especially with regard to English as additional language, as well as mathematics. To our dismay, it is the pilot results that gave us indicators to say, firstly, you don't have platforms, you know, that will ensure that, because when you conduct this particular test, there are many of them. I mean, you know, but you need to ensure that where you conduct these tests through the we chose to use the test centers where we're conducting this test. The results showed us that you needed to have people first who are trained on how they conduct this particular test at that particular level. Okay? Secondly, who, because they need to administer them, the issues around confidentiality, how do you deal with those, with those aspects so that each, the identity of each person is really, you don't have to publish because it's for developmental purposes. The items are there for the tool, but we have to ensure that we've got correct platforms for us to ensure that we do this thing. So we have been able to train the core team of professionals to can be able to conduct this test in those data centers. The e-learning specialists have been trained now. And secondly, we have managed to work with Microsoft and Vodacom to ensure that the platforms that we use are in order. But the third element is around the procurement processes, Chair, that because of the fact that you needed to have a strong e-learning platform which is managed by service providers. So those three elements are the three elements that made us not to meet. I mean, we were really ambitious to put the target of 20,000, and we knew that we could achieve it. But it's just that when you test it, and then you need to find out, you find out that there are barriers that will make you not to really finalize it, because the items are there, you know. We don't want to do a paper-based. We were trying to run away from a paper-based approach in this regard to deal with it. Those are the two main reasons for, those are the reasons why we could not achieve the targets, because processes were in place to ensure that we can achieve those, which means we have now policy in place to guide the system on how this thing could be done.
Alright, Chair, we'll take the next one. Maybe let me ask Mr. Mapoko to just quickly respond to infrastructure.
Thank you, DJ. Just a quick one. Number one is on the furniture delivered, and there was also a question around the quality. The 52% of furniture that has been delivered is only the delivery from the DBE to the Eastern Cape province. Now, what happened here is that it's an accounting matter that led to the 52%, because we received the PODs, proof of deliveries, from the service provider. And it is only when we have verified that indeed the furniture has been delivered that there is payment. So at the point of reporting, the proofs of deliveries, not all proofs of deliveries had been received from the service provider, and as a result, we could not invoice the service provider. So the 52% was as a result of that. It's not necessary. If you look at the first quarter report now, there has been an exponential increase in the number that we are reporting to show that it was just that verification exercise that led to the under expenditure. The issue of quality, we constantly monitor the delivery of furniture. If you remember, at some point we made a presentation to the committee on the specifications with relation to furniture that are SABF approved. And to give an example, for instance, in Limpopo recently, we went down there with the National Treasury to do a verification exercise, and we found out that the quality that was delivered was not up to standard. And together with the National Treasury Office or the Procurement Officer, we stopped those kinds of deliveries. And we are in the process of cancelling some of the contracts by those service providers. So we have a very thorough monitoring mechanisms in terms of the delivery of furniture. The second issue that came out is around the indicator on basic services. The indicator refers to progress with regards to the access to water, sanitation, and electricity in all the provinces. And as indicated, we are in the process of meeting that target. But, Chair, as you correctly indicated, in terms of the norms and standards with regards to the 30th of November, and we also made a presentation to HEDCOM, and we'll be making a presentation to CEM, that not all provinces, according to our analysis, are going to meet that target in terms of the norms and standards. And it's a matter that we are discussing with provinces. We were in KZN yesterday with CDG to raise those kinds of issues, and we are going through all the provinces so that where there is no, it's clear that we are not going to meet the targets. What are the mitigating factors that we are going to put in place, and when do we think we are going to meet those targets? Because it's not about money in most instances, but it's about delivery. The last one, DG, the sports facilities, the indicators on our APP does not refer to those. That is what it was not reported on. The last one, DG, is learner transport. On learner transport, I have the report here, Chairperson, that talks to the number of learners that we will share with the portfolio committee. We have 527,000 learners that need transport, but we transported 418,000 learners in the last financial year, which is 71% of the learners that need transport that were transported. 71% of learners that need transport were transported at the end of the financial year. Thank you, Chief.
Come on, social cohesion, NSNP, and other questions.
Thanks, DG. Honorable Chairperson and members. I think the main question was for us was around the issue of infrastructure for NSNP, storage and cooking facilities. And I think all we can do is really to acknowledge the point that the committee is making on it and to work a little bit more on the interventions that we've put together. There's been some success and some, you know, additions of those resources over time. However, more needs to be done, and we're working on various things together with partners. So we take the point, DG. Around some of the challenges also of the NSNP, so the infrastructure is one of them. I think the other challenge around the NSNP is ensuring the quality of the meals consistently, because quality is an everyday and every meal kind of experience, you know, that has to be maintained. It's a function of ongoing training, but also it's a function of strong monitoring and support. And we are strengthening that capacity, including investing in monitoring through technology. We've implemented a pilot with Vodacom in Limpopo successfully, so, and we're looking to roll that out aggressively because it provides two critical things. One is real-time feedback that comes back to the national office so that we know where the red spots are and we can go back and intervene rather than having to wait until the quarterly report comes in, you know, about 3 months before we can go in and do something. And secondly, there's an element of learner feedback, because we feel it's really important for us to engage with learners to get their own input in terms of the experience of the school meals as well. Because we might get the reports from officials that things are working well, but if learners are not enjoying their meals, then it's also not very helpful, because then what happens is that they don't partake in the eating and there's bulk storage of the meals, which is fruitless expenditure, which we can't really allow to do. So those are some of the things that we're doing. In terms of safety, a key intervention is the implementation of the protocol that we have with the department to make sure that every school is linked to a police station and that there's a liaison person at the police station that's responsible for the school. We've been incrementally adding up these linkages, and we have a database that shows the schools that are linked. I think the challenge there, which is the work that we must do, is to make sure that that relationship is alive and well, that is implemented. So it's not only just knowing the inspector that's responsible for the school, but we have running programs wherein they come and they engage with learners. And ultimately, you know, it's also reflective of society and the kind of things that are required to support and assist schools to make sure that schools are safe areas. So this is work in progress, and we can provide a further report if necessary. Thank you.
Chair, Mr. Mlambo will provide information on the criteria for selecting schools that are doing well. and then if anything around NIDU, if not the CFO, will cover that in terms of the expenditure of NIDU. Oh, he was your lecturer. Okay, that's nice. Basically, there are two categories of recognition of performance. The one would be your teacher award, and then the second one, your district award. District awards are very questions limited to districts. Are those districts that have shown remarkable improvement or improvement in their performance in their NSCs, so that consistency. And secondly, we also see, if I'm not mistaken, we also concentrate on those less resourced schools but are performing beyond the resources that they have. So you across the country, that is, they are not necessarily concentrated in one or two provinces. Across the country, you may have schools that have achieved that level in Guadalajara, in the eastern cities, and all over the country. So, and then perhaps maybe if I can also add that the recognition or the incentives that are given or awarded to the recipients are usually sponsored, not the department's budget. If I just mistake it, they're usually sponsored by private sector. So it's not the only question that we are spending on those.
That's fine. Dr. Maboya, and then Prince T.
After Dr. Maboya.
Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm going to respond to the question that relates to the underperformance in terms of the National Senior Certificate, which, my apologies, DG, as we have said, we haven't introduced ourselves. There are people that might not be, knowing that much. That is why you have requested from the beginning that you can say more about who is Mr. Mwedi, so that you know. Like Dr. Mabuya, can you know what strikes him?
I thought Dr. Mabuya she's not doing a maiden appearance, if there's anything. Well, this is the second appearance to the portfolio committee, eh? It is. Dr. Mabuya is the DDG responsible for curriculum monitoring, curriculum policy monitoring and support, the post that I used to occupy before I moved to this one. So she's the branch head responsible for that. I took it that because this is her second meeting, so the committee should have been introduced to the committee chair. I'm sorry. Okay, that's Dr. Maniki Maboya.
Thanks, DJ. We did advance as a reason for not performing with regard to the pass rate for the National Senior Certificate, that it is because of the cognitive demand of the papers that were written last year. And indeed, that is a fact. And that relates to three things. It relates to the quality of questions that are being set not only at the end of the year, but also during the year, if we want to get it right. It also relates to access to the types of questions that are of quality, such that learners are not only exposed to such questions at the end of the year. It also relates to the issue of language proficiency, because the higher the standard of questions go, then it means you also need to be quite proficient in terms of language. Because most of the questions that are of high order would be questions that are highly contextualized. So what we are doing to address this is that, and we understand it to be a process. It is not something that we can be able to address once off. So it's a process. What we have done this year was to train teachers in terms of capacitating them to be able to set good questions, but also to ensure that we also create a bank of exemplar questions that are of good quality, high cognitive demand type of questions. And added to that, we are also running a program where we are trying to improve the language proficiency of our learners. And that we are doing through our language development framework, of which one of the programs that we are running there is that of English across the curriculum. So these are some of the things that we are trying to do in order to ensure that we close the gap. With regard to Karigude, one of the discussions that we wanted as a committee is that when we talk of improving the language proficiency, let us not only focus on learners. You know, English is not our first, all of us, we have got that challenge. So even our teachers, it's really not because, you know, but we also wish to see those programs focusing even on teachers themselves, because it's a challenge that we all have.
Thanks, Chair. Point taken. And then on Karigude, I need to mention that at the start of this campaign, we were targeting to reach 4.7 million adults. But at the moment, we have already been able to reach 4.7 million. But the issue around Karigude now is the fact that we did not reach the target. But the target as set out in our 2015-16 APP was not in relation to the enrollment, but it was rather in relation to the number of adults who would complete the program. Now, where are we in terms of this? Is that because it's also a process that overlaps into the new financial year. That's why we could not give the right figures. But right now, we are standing at about 275,000 learners who were able to complete. And as it is now, we are busy even collecting some of the portfolios. So we are hoping that that number will actually increase. Thank you.
Only I will share the 4 minutes.
Now, thanks, DG. I will start with the, I think Dr. Fuller will deal with the exam questions, even though the member who asked is no longer with us. I will deal with the rationalization of small schools and zero rating of municipal services. We've started the process led by the DG of identifying a chair the inefficiencies within the education sector. And one of the inefficiencies that we identified is the issue of these small and non-viable schools. So it's true, Chair, that there have been challenges in the past, and mainly due to the fact that as DDE we did not put in place the guidelines to assist the process. So in the HEDCOM up now recently approved the guidelines that will assist the provinces in terms of how to deal with the process. And the guidelines are very clear in terms of the consultation process that must take place. It even identifies the structures that must be in place before this process is undertaken. And we've gone further as DPE to analyze data to say what data is telling us, where is the problem. And we looked at the historical trend from 2010 up to now, and we've seen that the problem is mainly centered around three provinces, which is KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. So even the DG delegated me to assist those provinces in terms of making sure that they follow these guidelines when they are dealing with rationalization of small schools. To zero rating of municipal services, Chair, is an issue that has been also under discussion within the department. It was even discussed during the last meeting of HEDCOM. We had even engagement at the DTG level with our counterparts at COPTA and National Treasury. There are recommendations that we'll be taking through to CM in terms of how we should proceed with this process, because it really put pressure on finances of schools.
Thank you, Gigi. Honorable Chair, I'll quickly add in terms of the pass rates, in terms of what Dr. Maboya has added. I think the point here is that we have made a conscious decision when we introduce CAPS that we will increase the cognitive demand of our question papers, but it will be done progressively. Now, even though we have an adjustment process in place, the adjustment norm is based on the history of the last 5 years. It does not take into consideration our intention to increase the cognitive demand in a phased in manner. So therefore, despite adjustments, one does not expect that the adjustment process will bring us back to where we would have been had we not increased the cognitive demand. And another important factor, Honorable Chair, is, and I think we're not just saying it's the cognitive demand, but it's a host of other factors. And the other significant factor is the fact that we've allowed 65,000 learners who would have been in grade 10 or grade 11. We've now allowed them to write the grade 12 exam. And these are our progress learners. Now, I know there's a lot of debate around progress learners, but it has its positive in the sense, Honorable Chair, that of those 65,000 learners, 22,000 of them obtained an NSC. And if we had left them in grade 10 or grade 11, they would have not attained. And the even better news about these progress learners is that 3,000 of them obtained bachelor passes. So the fact that we took a conscious decision to allow 65,000 learners who did not satisfy the grade 11 requirements to write the NSC, we already had an anticipation that this would impact on our pass rates, and that's one of the reasons why we did not meet our target. Secondly, Honorable Chair, the issue of why are we focusing only on pass rate? I think as a department, we look at a whole host of indicators. I mean, we look at the dropout rate. We follow very closely our performance in terms of bachelors. We even went a step further where we say that we not only analyze our data in terms of learners passing at the 30% cutoff, we also look at the 40% cutoff as well. So we're looking at a host of factors. And also, Honorable Chair, possibly by next year, we'll be able to present to you a preliminary form where we are currently experimenting with what we're calling a basket of criteria, to say that you don't respond purely on one variable. We're putting the throughput rate, dropout rate, bachelor passes, maths and science passes all together in a consolidated basket. so that we will then see per school, per district, per province, how are they performing in terms of this collection of criteria. The third issue regarding the delay in the SACMEG results, here, Honorable Chair, we have been discussing the SACMEG report internally, but unfortunately, we have a little bit of a doubt about the final resulting. And because of that doubt, which is based on our own issues, and I think, DG, we can mention that there's been an improvement. And we want to verify that that improvement is legitimate. We have been in contact with SACMEG, but unfortunately they're on leave for the month of August, and they can only meet with us at the end of August. And thereafter we can finalize the report, and there would be an official release of the SACMEG results. But obviously it's a good story to tell. The last issue, DG, is underspending on ANA, and what are our plans in place to make sure that there's no underspending? Just to indicate that the redesign process is underway, for 2016, we are developing exemplars, and what we are saying, and Dr. Maboya has alluded to that, critical to promoting good standards is developing a bank of good questions which we can make available to our teachers. So we are currently working on an item banking system, which will be an IT system that districts, provinces can have access to. We are developing items. So much of the allocation from the ANA budget would be used in terms of developing items for grade 3, grade 6, grade 9, so the teachers have access to these items. We have exemplars which we'll already be releasing this year. So that's part of the spending. Thank you, Didi.
I'll bring back Mr. Kojana to just respond to two things. One is the update on the selling of posts. The second one is, are we meeting targets of a city? Only those two minutes.
So thank you very much, Didi. As we've indicated previously, that the ministerial task team requested an extension just to deal with those cases that have not been concluded. You recall, so the report is not yet finalized. They're still working on the work that they requested to do, and we are expecting by August, as we've indicated, that the report will be given to the minister by the end of August. Thank you. With regard to ACIDI, there are four sub-programs of ACIDI. One is inappropriate structures, second is on water, sanitation, and electricity. Those are the four. In terms of the baseline of the inappropriate structures, there are 510 projects of building of the schools, and of which 290 of those have been allocated to the implementing agents, and 167 of them, they have been completed. It is 126 of the schools that are the various stages of building, and then 216 of those have not been only now been allocated. The reason is because of the 216 of those schools is the fact that 24 of those schools have been affected by the closure, and 14 of those schools have been addressed by other programs within the province, where the province would appoint contractors, and 61 are isolated. So we have got a program to deal with the remaining schools. One would be the measure and closure of those small schools that needs to be dealt with, and those that are isolated small schools that cannot be matched. That's where the focus would have been. So there's also progress with regard to the provision of water, sanitation, as well as electricity that we can be able to provide. Thank you.
The CFO, in terms of financial issues.
Thank you, Chair. The Chair's recommendation on how to report on conditional grants and Karikude is noted, and with conditional grants we will report, we will try to separate what is national and what is provincial so that the report is clear. And then the one on
the suggestion by Honorable Mokoto is also noted. We will report per quarter and have cumulative amounts. We will do that. And then there was another issue by one honorable member, I think it's Honorable Museo Manga, about the underspending in Program 2. Just to indicate that the amount that was underspent in Program 2 cannot or could not be shifted to any other area, because EPWP is not necessarily the departmental allocation. It's the earmarked allocation. So if it's not spent, you can't shift it anywhere else. We can't even couldn't even get approval to shift that, because it's specifically for that function. So we can't use it for any other activity. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just a few colleagues have done exceptionally well in covering the entire scope. Just to say that in terms of Honorable Khosa, I agree with you. The attitude not only of teachers, but of public service, of public servants in general, is about monetary incentives and developmental benefits. So we're trying to change the paradigm of the public service. But human beings are human beings. Even if you say to them, you stand to gain much better in terms of development and the money that you get, because we all need money at some point, although we'll never have enough. But human beings tend to focus on money. And then the SMT also to be covered, I fully agree with you. Over time, we need to look at SMTs. But we must remember, Chair, I need to emphasize this point. And from an HR perspective, human resource management perspective, competency assessment is not a panacea. It's not a guarantee that a person will do well. It's like interviews. Interviews do not give you a guarantee. All SMS members, by the way, go through competency assessment. Now, wouldn't be reporting about underperformance in some targets, in others, we've done well, if competency assessment was the silver bullet. So it is really, we should not take it as a silver bullet. But it is one of those measures that will help us at a minimum level, if you like, to make sure that people who are recruited are at least people who are within the minimum requirements of the profession. We will, Honorable Khosa, pay attention to the quality of furniture. And I'm sure Ntatema Fukwen, really took that advice. I think it's not the first time that this matter has been raised. Just to say that, Chairperson, maybe let me start by saying we'll make the criteria for selecting schools for outstanding performance, including districts, available to your committee through your secretary. We will make that available. And just also to say that I've spoken about competency assessment. It's not a guarantee that if you've gone through competency assessment, you'll do well. But at least it helps to sift, if you like. And then the expenditure of the fourth quarter, the CFO covered. Honorable Msimang, I take your point. Even though it's earmarked funds for a specific project, the underperformance in a program that should be attending to issues that you have correctly pointed out, that observation is quite welcome, and we accept that. And again, the issue of EPWP, somewhere we need to accept. It's out of our own shoddiness, sloppy work that we do. We should have anticipated how many people will be taken and will benefit from EPWP, which is a matter that I've addressed with Dr. Maboya, and Dr. Maboya has addressed it with the team that is responsible. Karikude, we are in a process of folding Karikude, and I think this is the last financial year of Karikude, so it is definitely folding, Honorable Basson. We are bidding it goodbye. We are sorting out the problems, but in a way, I'm saying thanks God that it's going out. And more so that we've met the target. The intention was to cover 4.7 million. South Africans who could not read and write at all, functionally enumerate and illiterate. So I think that one is well underway. And then Honorable Mguni, Dr. Polia responded to the issue of ANA, but what we have done also in terms of the allocation, in terms of the MTF, we have adjusted the allocation accordingly so that it takes into account the remodeled ANA, which is not going to happen every year. I've heard you saying we are about to go into the writing of ANA. It's not going to happen this year. We are going to come up with something new, which will be called systemic assessment, Dr. Poria, which is still to be approved by CEM. It's going to the next CEM. So ANA will not be written this year. And then the report on the visits to schools, there is a progressive improvement in basic functionality of schools, but challenges are still there. But what I want to appeal to you, because you are public representatives, the rate at which physical infrastructure deteriorates in many of our schools is unacceptable. It's purely out of lack of proper care and maintenance. Schools that maintain their physical facilities very well, those facilities tend to take longer, they tend to be in good shape. So I'm making a humble appeal to you public representatives to please help us to get communities really to make sure that they maintain their facilities. And then I'm about to be done. It's unfortunate that Honorable Davis had to leave, and colleagues have really attempted to respond to his question. The key issue, Chair, and I said this several times in various fora, if you introduce a new curriculum or an aspect of the curriculum as being new, worldwide, you can check any literature, it's bound to cause a dip in the performance of learning outcomes. One, you said it correctly. Teachers work better with what they are used to, which they've been using over years. A very simple thing, you only have question papers of 1 year that are basically relevant to changes that you are dealing with. So you've got a limited scope to prepare learners. It's not a South African phenomenon. It's got nothing to do with the system. We've got our problems in terms of the performance of the system, but this is not one of them. If you introduce anything new in education, in fact, not only in education, where human beings are involved, the performance is bound to take a dip. Even your best learners, your juniors and so on, is bound to impact on them. That's why you've got standardization, but standardization will not deal with the issue 100%, and I'm sure Dr. Polia covers that very well. The other issue, Chair, was that why don't we consider putting in our indicators bachelors, and Dr. Polia attempted to respond to that. Just imagine, if we're going to put everything into our APP, how big is the APP going to be? We might have to hire a caterpillar to bring it to the portfolio committee. I'm just giving, you know, I'm going to the extreme. How big is your APP going to be? Right? We're trying to cover the minimum, but make sure that what is in the minimum is quite essential. Dropout rate, half of our learners do not write matric. This is only a South African analysis. It does not happen anywhere in the world. By the way, not all learners will write matric, and not all learners should go and write matric. And that's why we're even emphasizing other pathways now. You know, in other countries like Britain and so on, if they talk about throughput, it's throughput of learners who are going to matric. Some of the learners go to FET colleges, by the way. At the end of grade 9, they don't have to go to matric. They go to FET colleges and write under the NCV certificate or the NCV program. So now, because it's made by professors, this analysis is made by very, very educated people, eminent people in society. That's why everybody is running with it. And it's wrong. It's pathetically wrong. It's baseless. It's not informed by anything. And my humble advice
is that the sooner we get away from it, the better. I've acknowledged that it's even made in the National Development Plan, which is an immense error. It's an immense error. You don't say learners entered grade R, because not all learners who enter grade R are going to grade 12. Some are going to FET colleges, some are going somewhere, they might decide after grade 9 they go somewhere. It doesn't mean that they've dropped out. Our dropout rate, I think, is between 13 and 15%. That is the official dropout rate. The problem that we have is that learners in our system take more than 12 years to complete schooling. High failure rate, high dropout rate, but that is not equal to dropout rate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG and your delegation. Though I think you have touched another very important discussion that is very interesting, which one day we need to open up to it. Because we always argue to say again, it's not every learner that needs matric in life. Or it's not everyone that needs to pass, that will ever pass matric. It's a fact. So I think it should be a public discussion. It should be the discussion that we have here and to see what is it. But we are very much proud even of the programs that we have initiated as a department west of this 3-stream model to say how do we cater for those. Not saying that we must, you know, not do well because we believe that others cannot pass. No, no, no. But I think that is a very important discussion that we need to engage on as we move forward. Honourable members, let us take the presentation on the first quarterly report. I know you might be having follow-up questions on this one, but some of those follow-ups will be, you know, we'll get the answers now as per the presentation that is about to come. But if not, we are going to take them all. And can I really time you now? It's 20 to 11. Surely with this one, to 12. Can I give you 15 minutes for this presentation? Yeah, it's not long. I've sent it 15 minutes on the presentation, then we take discussions from there. Over to you then. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. This presentation, really quarter one presentation, as the colleague had indicated, really looks at this first quarter of the financial year, but it's also within the context of a great amount of effort and emphasis on integration of the system, the concurrent function, and what we have had to do in the last year, towards the end of the last year particularly, is to focus on quality improvement and how that plays itself out in the system, but also focusing on curriculum learning outcomes, both the cognitive learning outcomes as well as the broader learning outcomes in terms of learner well-being in our schools and how then the subgroups of learners actually perform in the schools. So the programs that I'm going to be speaking to focus on those. A lot of work in the last financial year was under the radar. A lot of work on getting the institutional context and effectiveness right, getting HR compliance with policy right, especially in the provinces, and colleagues, we've been working a lot with the colleagues in the provinces to harmonize their provincial indicators as they are reflected in the APPs, and Metlaban, who spoke earlier today, is looking at how that then links to the MTSF, the medium-term strategic framework, but also the National Development Plan priorities. So really a lot of work that's under the radar, if you like, with provinces on quality improvement in this respect. And it really shows a lot of maturity in terms of the system. So a lot of the indicators that are here, performance indicators, are annual indicators. But what we would want to do in the next quarter particularly is to look at the milestones in relation to those quality indicators and also levels of achievement. So we have 87% of the indicators that we have, the 44 indicators we have, which are annual targets, and they really speak to things that we will be focusing on at the end of the financial year. But a lot of narrative is about is really throwing the light or throwing the focus on what's happened after a huge amount of curriculum reform and now stability in the last year or two. So program one really talks about admin and getting the institution right in the DBE. And this quarterly report is about the Department of Basic Education, 222 Struben Street, but obviously in terms of institutional effectiveness, it will look at how we set norms and standards and policy for the rest of the sector to adhere to. So that really speaks to the media liaison. This particular program's reporting speaks to the HR compliance. It speaks to strategic planning and reporting outputs that are expected in the public service. It speaks to research, monitoring, and evaluation activities, particularly in relation to reading and the support of curriculum provisioning, as well as the impact evaluation. So one of the colleagues has spoken about the scholar transport evaluation, scholar transport activities, and one of the things that is being proposed this year, and we'll be reporting on that later, is an evaluation of the scholar transport. So the research is policy relevant and in relation to the evidence base for activities and programs in the sector. Similarly, internal audit activities as in terms of compliance, but also we're trying to move further than compliance and look at the quality of the evidence as provided so that it's not just technically, operationally, administratively relevant, but it actually speaks to the quality improvement agenda. The indicator tables for quarter one are shown, and really what we're doing in terms of that is we had a minor underperformance in terms of the grievances, but we are hopeful that in the next quarter we'll be able to move the processing along. A lot of this was really due to availability of people to actually sit for grievance cases. Program two looks at the engine of the department and the sector. And really looks at a lot of the setting up, the development of tools, oversight of monitoring of the early grade reading assessment. Curriculum, after a huge amount of curriculum reform and stability now in the sector, where, as Dr. Maboya and other colleagues have mentioned, there is a lot of integration. So, for instance, the assessment and curriculum reports that sit in Program 2 and Program 4 look at really much more integration, as well as Program 3, which looks at the instructional development, teacher practice, and teacher effectiveness. So a lot of the work that we do in these programs, over there, the activities are reported separately. They speak to the quality improvement agenda in curriculum. And this particular slide just looks at the implementation of IEO, Incremental Introduction of African Languages, and the provincial spread. I think this is slide 15. I'm not sure. Yeah. And the provincial spread and the distribution according to language in the country as at the end of quarter one. In terms of rural education focus has in the early sort of 2000s, there was a real focus on rural education, rural livelihoods, sustainable development, and rural development, and that has, as the colleagues have mentioned, has started again with renewed vigor, and also emphasis on what happens after. In terms of livelihood, food security, etc. So that's really the work of the Rural Education Committee that's been set up is really to do, and most of the research is outcome-based in terms of how we then affect that, the outcomes of learners from rural schools, but also the quality of education that's offered there. And some of those activities and outcomes are reflected in slide 16. And really, the curriculum enhancement, the materials provisioning, the development of textbooks, especially in the technical subjects, is in progress. We have adaptation of grade 5 workbooks, but also home language grade 4 braille workbooks being printed and delivered at the moment. So very similar to what has happened before, but also linked to what is happening in the assessment arena and also in terms of the three-stream model. So we're learning from the lessons, if you like, of the past, that we will do materials, we'll do instructional improvement, teacher support and development, as well as curriculum rollout, rather than in separate phases, as may have happened maybe earlier. There's also extension of work that was done in terms of Mind the Gap, which is a metric improvement intervention that has worked well. We found it has been scientifically proven to be useful, and we're doing some translation for key titles that are indicated, the math, physics, chemistry, and math literacy. And the MST project, again, the activities cut across teacher development, assessment development, and a lot of those items that Dr. Polia had indicated would obviously be related to NST. The full range of cognitive difficulty from of items, so that our learners can actually understand and get to grips with the high levels of achievement that are expected. CAPS training, teacher development, and schools implementing CAPS for technical subjects, particularly specialization in grade 10, and there are four provinces in which there was also work and monitoring of the training. I think the KRG project, there was a lot of discussion about, and actually some of that discussion then is covered in this slide. And the Second Chance Metric Program, which was launched on the 6th of January 2016 to great acclaim. Learners are just a huge amount of traction in a very short space of time, and we shouldn't underestimate just how much demand there was for this particular program. I know that we're going to get a presentation on it, so I'm going to very quickly go through to the next slide. But a lot of traction, a lot of... it was widely welcomed in all parts of society. And then the indicator table. Where the indicators don't show red or yellow or green, it's because they're annual indicators, and some of the evidence is usually yet finalized in the second quarter. So just because it's blank doesn't mean that there's no progress, and the progress has been recorded as in the slides and the presentations that you have, honorable members. Program 3 looks at the teachers who make up the huge majority of what we do in the sector. And really, I think Mr. Kujana has spoken to a lot of the work that's being done, but the majority of the work that happened here was in terms of teacher support, but also ensuring provincial compliance with HR prescripts, ensuring that we take advantage of the huge amount of work that's been done in terms of just supply of teachers. There has not been such a huge improvement in the pipeline of teachers as through the Funza Lushaka scheme, which in a very short period of time, we just completed an impact evaluation with the presidency on this particular program, and we've seen huge amounts of impact in terms of just the supply of teachers. And now we are seeing the responses at provincial level in terms of absorbing these teachers into the teaching core, and that's very encouraging to see in such a short period of time. So it's something that we are now using. We are now doing a lot of work at provincial level in HR, and ensuring that this then feeds through into school provisioning and the distribution of these teachers. And Mr. Kujana spoke about a lot of work on the long-term standards. there's a draft policy on recognition and evaluation of qualifications for employment in education. There's a lot of work around the bargaining councils, labor relations, and draft collective agreements are produced, and the jobs for cash report was produced. And I've spoken a bit about the HR, education, human resource development work. So a lot of work, a lot of effort on monitoring what is happening on the ground at provincial level, reporting this, analyzing this, and making sure that we have compliance with food provisioning norms, amongst others. The match of subject knowledge to actually what is required in terms of the subject offerings at school level. Most of these are covered. The IQMS implementation, as the Honourable Chairperson had mentioned earlier, is something that is a standing, a tool that is in the system. A lot of these tools are in the system are hugely, hugely important, and most of the work really has been making sure that these tools speak to one another in their application and in their implementation at school level, at district level, at provincial level. So it's not just about the development of these tools, but actually how they're used, when there's a problem identified, how that problem is then resolved, and how that then is used to improve teacher placement, teacher and school provisioning. That's very important. So a lot of the work that has been done is in terms of sharing best practice, in terms of monitoring and oversight, across provinces. And there are unlikely places for best practice. We know, for instance, we have best practice in terms of maths and science and technology improvement in some provinces other than the ones that we're used to hearing about. Whole school evaluation proceeding, as well as the ICT information that my colleague had spoken about, the ICT interventions that my colleague has spoken about. Okay. A lot of the indicator oversight and monitoring visits that we had hoped to have in this quarter were delayed because provinces were not able to host or were not able to participate for one reason or another. So a lot of them were scheduled in quarter two. So we are assuming that we would then get more traction in terms of reporting in quarter two and quarter three. This next program speaks to national assessment and the importance really of bedding down the foundation of quality learning and teaching in the system with a way of evaluating how that quality is occurring. And it's very important in terms of measuring the learning outcomes, not just those cognitive ones, but also more social outcomes within the sector, at school level, at district level, but also in the system. So those three, if you like, functions of assessment are included in what Dr. Polia has mentioned in terms of that. And they will become clearer in the months to come throughout the system. We are very aware that social validation and the need for consultation is important, but also we're very clear that we need to also monitor and measure our learning outcomes, especially at the lower primary grades throughout our school. I won't talk about the examinations because I think that's the subject of the next session. Data improvement, data cleaning has really is really an important emphasis in this coming period in terms of just monitoring, quality of monitoring systems that we have, whether it's integrity through ensuring that those people that we have on our systems, wherever they are, whichever program, are actually have valid identifications, whether it's through the IDs, is very important. So a lot of work between Home Affairs, the security agencies, the Department of Basic Education, and even Department of Health, with the colleagues that are monitoring health promotion and social cohesion. So there's a lot of that kind of interdepartmental work that's happening within government, but also just to make sure that verification of the data that we have is important, and it then enables us to do our work better. Target
the learners who need the most support and the teachers who need the most support in the system. The whole host of partners that have been identified on slide 39 that we work with on different aspects of our data systems, monitoring systems, etc. In terms of budget analysis and the preparations for the medium-term expenditure framework, we have a lot of work that's been done in just deepening the analysis of the sector, pressures, compensation of employees, but also the effects of our cost containment management, and that is on slide 40. And I think my colleague spoke about the different tranches of the EIG that are expected, so I won't speak to that. Again, the management system for education infrastructure is something that we're really paying a lot of attention to, just tightening and ensuring that it is able to give us better data at on plans, but also on achievements in terms of sanitation and all aspects of infrastructure delivery. Ah, of course, this program is huge. It has a huge scope. District-level planning and implementation support. So there was training of district managers in all aspects of their work. There was school-level planning and implementation support for circuit managers, but also work on improving call center management resolution and the quality of the work in terms of performance assessments and performance development of call center agents. And those indicators there, really those indicators, particularly both indicators actually, are related to evidence which is currently being assessed. So the evidence process, we get information, we clarify that it's correct, we verify it with our colleagues in the internal audit, and then we only put a final color when we've got it all. And again, those are annual, the first one is an annual indicators, so we assume that that is going to change, but also the quarterly indicator will change as soon as we finalize the information. Program 5 deals with learner well-being, social cohesion, and the colleague has spoken about the nutrition program and the concerns around it. We've just completed a national nutrition program evaluation again of high quality initiatives which we with the presidency have identified with the research unit to make sure that we plug the gaps in implementation, any concerns at provincial level that we have. So we're hoping that we will then be able to share these with the provincial department and work on different aspects of implementation wherever those are. This is also a report that will eventually go to Cabinet, but apart from that, okay, all right, I'll go very quickly then. And then this is work on care and support, psychosocial support strategy, and training on trauma conducted for provincial trainers to assist traumatized learners. So a lot of work on learner well-being, health promotion, and support. As well as sport. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. As I said, honorable members, the continuation of what has been presented before. Can I open up for your input, questions, and errors of discussion? Honorable Costa, Honorable Mbuni, yeah, can I take those two things?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just having two issues to raise. First, I want to appreciate the presentation. I'm interested in slide 18, 1+4. The 1+4 Chairperson issue, it seems to be doing well when we check in schools everybody says something good about it. But my question is, it only starts in grade 8. Are we planning to cascade this program to the lower grades, because so that when they come to such grade 8 going forward, the learners can be prepared from the primary level? The other issue, Chair, is just the one that was raised at, in Program 5, the issue of 3 meals per day. Do we have time to do that? Are we going to have time to teach if we are to give 3 meals per day? Thank you, Chair.
Sorry to laugh, I like that question, but yeah, we can
take
a look at it.
Honorable Ngudi. Thank you once, Mr. President. Mine is on program 3, on the issue of the IQMS. And then when are we going to start calling it QMS? We have been talking about QMS. But we are still saying IQMS. When I go, because you did explain what's the difference, and we saw the difference when you said the management now becomes a big part of the process. And what is the impact? We can apply it, but if there's no impact on the, when using this program, it is no value. You see, when I was visiting some of the schools, you will find that they were just doing it. They will give themselves 3-3-3-3 across, 3-3-3-3-4-4-4-4 across. So there's no value, because it was meant to have value. And then and the role of the WSE, Whole School Evaluation, when you look at that booklet, it is for it when it comes there to make an impact on that particular school. You see, when it has left, it comes with you to the, with the report. You do something. You come back to the school. You bring change. If the whole school evaluation has left the school and nothing happens thereafter, still no. You see, it does not have any value. One person comes there, does the whole school. I don't want to explain it. You know the process. What else, man? The last one is this school visit. Program, this readiness check as it. Every year in January, we will visit schools. They report to us their challenges. We look at their school readiness. What impact does that have again? Because I will still go and visit the same school. They say, we told you last year, you did nothing. You come here, we tell you the same thing, you did nothing. They even the same portfolio committee. We go to the same schools, we visit them, they tell us their challenges, you do nothing. What impact does it have on you, on the problem you are doing? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to come in on that part where they talk about over one. I wanted to check, because like the catch-up program was focusing on the matriculants, and what about the other grades? What happened? Maybe just to get a briefing as to how, whether they it means that they have really lost it for the whole year, the other grades from grade 11 backwards. And then the other point would relate to the issue of the LTSM. I want to check, because like if you go on oversight, you still encounter a situation where some of the books that were ordered that in a different language, have you been able to arrest that problem when the provinces were ordering the
the last question, Chairperson, would relate also to the issue of the ECD, that one where we are supposed to collaborate with social development. If we can get a briefing of how far are we with that plan as a department, because like in several of our meetings, you have reported that your part was only to ensure that the curriculum aspect of the program is implemented. And then have you dealt with it? Are you ready as a department? Because I think that if you already know your part, you should be having a report as to what is it that is happening and how far are we with the implementation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Kenja. Can I just add one or two? Like we said, it's the National School Nutrition Program. When you can and report that you are piloting in the BOPO, the technological monitoring, it was a good thing, and we did speak about it on the previous report. But for me, what is left now is to say, what have you learned from the pilot? Is it something that is doable? When are we seeing it, you know, being implemented throughout the province? We know that you are moving towards the E in everything, teaching, even e-learning and teaching. Again, we are seeing how things are doing very well. We are hearing the reports from you saying we have gone, you know, we have done a lot when it comes to that. But the fact of the matter, we still have provinces where we don't see much of a move when it comes to that. My question would be, is it a we from those provinces, or really are the circumstances that are forcing those provinces not to to be seen moving when it comes to that, and what is the intervention from the GBE then to assist with such? Because we all believe that as we move towards that, things are going to be easier, we easily reach the learners and whatever. So it's one of my questions that is there. On the issue of SASM's teaching, again, we've seen SASM's as one of our programs that have been in the department. We've seen that, we've just witnessed that now in Vuan in the book, where we could achieve most of the information from those events down schools. And I think we've learned lessons as to say, if this thing can be well implemented throughout the country, we won't be faced with any more challenges than of reporting, you know. Even the way our schools are being managed, SASMs, it's got that ability of having everything, you know, at a go. Yes, schools are using it, but one of the challenges, DG, we are fresh from our constituencies, we've been picking these things as we move around. One of the main challenges, again, when it comes to the issue of SASM, yes, I see the training and whatever, but is the standard, is the uniformity in how things need to be reported? Let me make a simple example. There are various subject advisors with different demands when it comes to, you know, to the teachers themselves, how do they want it to be reported. But when it comes to SASM, to say how are they going to fit the system, it's a total different thing altogether. And you find that our teachers down there, it's a fact, I can come up with so many examples when it comes to that, as to say how are you planning of, yes, it has been introduced and whatever, but moving forward, what are the plans of trying to uniformize this, have a standardized thing as to say, how are we going to use this as SASM? It can be throughout the country or a uniform in the province, but let us have a uniform thing so that we avoid this confusion that you are seeing on the side of the teachers. On program 5, again, on learner well-being and teacher well-being and whatever, IGT, we are receiving these alarming reports now throughout the country. West, the latest one that we have just received from KZN, teachers still continue to abuse our learners. It is just terrible. It's pathetic. So in some of these programs, because for me, when you learn of that case, it was not a once-off thing, it's not a new thing. What are the programs that we have, really, of arming our learners, our communities out there? Are we seeing these programs working, you know? Or just to tell us more, but it's quite alarming, and it shows that we might be seated with such things happening throughout the country, and they are not reported. We find one event being reported and we all make noise, but those are the things that we must work on. How are we? We'll never prevent them totally, but let us arm our learners, let us arm our communities out there, as to say, if we still have such elements within the system, this is how we can counteract their wrongdoings as we move forward. Thank you, teacher.
Thank you very much. At least this time around, we've got a sizable number of questions. And infrastructure is excluded. There's no teacher development, social cohesion, and then curriculum. Maybe we must start with Dr. Kuma, to start with NSNP, and the last comment and question which was raised.
Thank you, CG. We agree, Chairperson, around the need to expand the pilot. Because, in fact, I think we all agree that the pilot was successful and that it's an important intervention. We had had agreement with Limpopo to expand implementation into one whole district. I think it was then that we had agreed on it. It was put in the business plan for the NSNP for the province. We did have some difficulty in getting the province to fully realize that commitment. And as we were dealing with some of those matters, one happened. And I think the focus then from their side and ours was really to make sure that we fully support the camps as they happened at the time. Now that things are stabilizing now, we will then go back, because we also have a responsibility to make sure that we implement the business plans that put together. Part of our responsibility is also through the HEDCOM subcommittee on NSNP to then take back those lessons and share them with the other provinces, so that they also can begin to plan for intervention and implementation of this monitoring. So that's something that's on the plan, and we're hoping that in the coming months, especially by the end of the year, we can come back to this forum and report on how Limpopo is doing, but also to the degree to which we can integrate that experience into the way that we will do with other provinces as well. I think it covers my issue. Yes, the three meals per day was a temporary arrangement. This was because of the camps in support of the interventions on Vuani. These were residential camps, so the learners were accommodated in the three sites, and therefore they needed to be provided meals throughout, including the teachers and the other support staff that were there. It was quite a challenge. I think it's something that we need to really put out there, because we were not ready for it, and we needed to respond with speed. And I think DG and other managers in the system have really commended the efforts of both the province as well as national in really coming to the party at very short notice to make sure that the nutrition aspect, you know, and the feeding aspect is covered, even, you know, throughout, including over weekends, because it meant supplies, it meant also the provision of the food handlers and quality standards, because as you are dishing one meal up, you need to already be preparing the next one. So basically, you know, almost a 24-hour kitchen facility. But we were really successful in making sure that whatever challenges came up were really addressed easily in time.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm going to respond to the 1+4 program and to say that yes, indeed, 1+4 program is showing some very promising signs. But then I need to also remind members that when this whole program was conceptualized, it was actually trying to respond to the challenges that we had in as far as the teaching and learning of mathematics is concerned in the senior phase. The senior phase being your grade 7, 8, and 9. But because we were looking at the ANA results pertaining to grade 9, then we were looking at implementing that program in grade 8 and 9. That is how it was conceptualized. So currently, it's actually covering both grade 8 and 9. Yes, there are intentions to expand the program, but the program can only be expanded once we have done proper, you know, impact evaluation of the program. Then we'll be able to expand it to the lower grades so that we are able even to... We are able even to implement it in the intermediate phase. Now, with regard to the ECD program, yes, indeed, this one is a program that is actually cutting across almost, I could say, at least three departments. That would be your DBE, your Department of Health, as well as the Department of Social Development. But then I must indicate that I'm sure honorable members would also remember that in December 2015, the policy, the integrated policy on ECD was approved by Cabinet. So on that basis, we are hoping that we will be able then to come up with an integrated plan, of which is something that we are working on, so that we can then concretize the policy itself. So in that plan, we will be able to clearly articulate what the Department of Education will be doing, as well as what other departments are doing. So that one we are ready to address. But I must also indicate that there is already a report that is going to be tabled at the Portfolio Committee for Social Development, which actually speaks to that integration or integrated approach to ECD. And I think those are the two things that I wanted to talk to.
Mr. Banta, SSMs.
Okay. No, thanks, Chairperson. I'm glad that I could hear your voice, that you have passion about HSMs, that you are really an ambassador of HSMs. So, and you are quite correct, Chairperson, about the challenges of standardized reports, because we find that the data is there on the system, but now our colleagues, they will say, no, I want a template instead of this column going this way, it must be there. So what we've done, especially in KZN, because that's the only province that has been behind on HSMs. I met with the DDG responsible for curriculum last month, and we agreed that now in the province they're going to standardize the collection of learner performance information, because it has been done manually in the past. So they even issued a circular to all the districts to say now the province is going to collect learner performance information using HSMs. So from Monday, I deployed my team to induct your curriculum advisors, because that's where the challenges are. Those are the people who demand templates that are not there in the system. Remember, in terms of the system, if the data is there, then you must inform the system that now you want your report to be in that format. The system will do that. There are no issues. It started on Monday, Otungo Lembangeni Preparatory School. Today they're in Kandi, Kandi High School, so they will be covering all the province of KZN, but working closely with the district, with the curriculum officials from the province, because those our role is just to support them. They must drive it for it to work.
Mr. Kujano will address IQMS vis-a-vis QMS.
I'm sorry for this. You know, I learned one thing. I don't know whether it's happening throughout such, just to finalize the thing of SA Sams. SA Sams PG does not allow a zero. I don't know whether you are. Yes, I fully agree. There is no learner who can be seated and at the end of a term or a day, the learner is said to have achieved nothing. But we know the circumstances. There are learners that do not write, do not submit anything. And one of the other times, it does not allow it, you know. What are you expecting our teachers to do when it comes to this? It just cannot take it. Instead, it cannot, you know, it can't produce anything at the end. That's the system that we have created. What are we expecting those teachers to do? Or just give them
one? Chairperson, we'll have to investigate, because my understanding is that, it's a coding. You code each and every activity. If it's zero, then it must be zero. Then with the drop down. That's why even with the progress learners, there's a list to say the reason for that progress. And so I will have to check that, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, TC. CM has approved that QMS must be implemented next year to allow time for the training, which ought to be starting in the next quarter, with a view of the implementation of the QMS. This is supported by the MTT report, if you recall. And it's a matter that has been signed at the URC. It was only one union that did not sign. And we have been engaging at different levels. But QMS has finally, CM has finally indicated that it should be implemented. How do we support teachers? You know, the question that has been raised by the chair. We've launched the teacher appreciation and support program with the school governing board association, FACE, ERCDB, and everybody to support educators and appreciate their work. And we have gone through a very, all those stakeholders have gone through an advocate around issues of behavior, over and above the dealing only with the cases, to see what are the issues that are faced with this, are faced by teachers, and how do we address those, so that when you look into the behavior of them, which is something that is being done through the FACE and reported to, but what is it that we need to do to support those? Maybe the psychological issues that are at play. So we have launched the Teacher Appreciation and Support Program to deal with the matter. Thank you.
Chair, just to add, I think because I rushed Dr. Maboya and she's not used to being rushed in responding to questions, she should have mentioned that in the foundation phase there's a program called JICA, the Japanese International Cooperation Agency, which they have started in Mpumalanga and KZN. It has now been extended to Northwest and Eastern Cape. Now the intention is that over time it must cover all the nine provinces. Now in the senior phase you've got 1+4. In the foundation phase you've got the JICA project. The intention is to cover all of them. In fact, we're talking a few days ago that she's thinking of even taking it to the intermediate phase, so that at least your foundation phase, intermediate phase, and senior phase are covered. For now, the FET seems to be fairly okay because that's the cream. the FEP. So I thought I must just mention that there is a program that focuses on that. And then the Honorable Muguni, what is the role of WSE? Remember that WSE does not focus specifically on individual teachers. WSE, for instance, evaluates the status of teaching, not of a teacher, performance of a teacher. But by so doing, you'll create a profile of the status of teaching in a school without focusing on teaching. QMS, we hope that it will then focus on the teacher, and if you put all of those together, they'll help to supplement each other. I thought I must just explain that in terms of the role of WSE. You'll still need WSE in terms of the basic functionality of schools to make sure that all our schools are brought up to speed in terms of the 9 areas of evaluation. The school readiness, as I said, it looks like I didn't do my job properly in the first round of the fourth quarter report. I did indicate that, as you correctly pointed out, in some schools there's no change, in others there is change. But over time, we are starting, by the way, we also present this at CEM, these reports, we present them at EDCOM, to say that we need to respond to these things that are raised. We even come up with recommendations, and they are shared at EDCOM, including CEM. So over time, we are looking forward to getting the number of issues that relate to basic functionality being drastically reduced. But I concur with your view. In some instances, you find that you visit the same school 3 years in a row. There's very little progress, or there's no progress at all. But I'm sure Gauteng will disagree with us, will tell you that all their schools, they are able to follow up and make sure that they are attended to. Honorable Mokoto, catch-up program, you are right, for grade 12. What about the lower grades? DDE officials, led by Mrs. Kyobeka, who's not here because she's held up somewhere, met with officials of Limpopo and eventually met with teachers of the affected, in fact, subject advisors who are servicing teachers of the affected schools in the Bohane area. They looked at the curriculum and they said, if we were to deliver on the available time, what is it that we can leave out? What is it that it's a no-no to leave out? This is a fundamental to take learners to the next grade and so on. So they looked at that, and they developed guideline documents that were provided to subject advisors, which are going to be given to teachers. Schools have started, I assume that subject advisors, I'll be visiting those schools soon. I haven't visited ever since they started, just to monitor whether what was shared with subject advisors found expression at the level of the classroom. So for all the grades, lower than grade 12, that information has been shared with subject advisors.
DJ Wise, we are not here to give the report of one, but if you can just give clarity to the members of the committee. Are we saying teaching and learning is happening now with Buwani? Are the schools open now? And where are the metrics? Have we closed down the camps? What is happening? Just give us, just throw some light when it comes to that.
Yeah, so I'll do that, but remember that there's a report coming probably next week, and it will provide you with more details on this. To the best of my knowledge, all schools have started in Buwani. Metric camps have been discontinued to allow metrics to join the reopening and the commencement of schools in Buwani. So the 3 camps have been closed. The learners are in their respective schools, joining the rest of the other learners. The first few days, there were problems. The third day, amazingly, the attendance was close to over 90%. And where I'm sitting, I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Schools are running full steam in Buwani. So we'll provide more details in the report that is coming next week, Chair. Thank you.
LTSM, what we usually do, we say first 3 months of the beginning of the academic year, we deal with delivery of wrong languages, wrong quantities, and so on. By the end of the 3 months, we should have all of those remediated, and schools should be having the right languages and the right quantities. There could be instances where it goes beyond the 3 months, but provinces are reporting regularly to the curriculum branch, Mr. Subban, who will then in turn report to HEDCOM and CEM on how the shortages have been remediated. Dr. Maboya covered the collaboration between social development and basic education and health department. Our role remains within the 3 main areas that you know. One is stimulation of stimulation programs in the form of the curriculum. We now have the national curriculum framework which is implemented there. The second one is around training or teacher development, which we are continuing to do. The third one is around conditions of service. CEM took a decision to say that we focus first on grade R and make sure that we get grade R right before we go to, you know, H4 and H3, which is the extra 2 years. So we said we'll continue to carry out our responsibility there without even thinking of bringing those physically to our school environment. They'll remain where they are, which is the current arrangement with social development. But once we are done with grade R, it's an issue that we could consider. So we are ready in terms of carrying out 3 areas of our responsibility, Honorable Mokota. To answer your question, Honorable Chair, ICT disparities that exist in provinces. In fact, this question was also asked in the first round of quarter 4, and I think we didn't respond to it. It was asked by Honorable Basso, to the best of my recollection. Indeed, it is true, there are these disparities that exist. Now, as we said before, some provinces view ICT as a nice to have. Others view ICT as core to teaching and learning. And those 2 provinces that in their view, ICT is core to teaching and learning, is core to enhancing administration, are Gauteng and Western Cape. Those are the 2 provinces. And money doesn't come from anywhere else but from the equitable share. There is no conditional grant for ICT, at least for now. We've been trying to, we met with Treasury on the 18th, we've presented our bids, and I'm sure ICT was one of the highest bids, around 8 billion or something that we require, which was reduced from, Operation Pakisa, by the way, had given us a projection of over 100 billion, and we told them that this country in the next 40 to 100 years will not have that money. And they had to go back and review their plans. That's why they've now reduced it to about 8 billion, which in my view is reasonable. And that money should come from LTSM. As we digitize the LTSM material, the money that we use to buy LTSM will be much cheaper, will be much more durable, and then will be even cost effective to maintain. And then we can redirect it to meet the 8 billion that we require for the sector. But I can assure you that the target of making sure that schools, all schools are connected by 2019 remains. All schools will be connected by 2019. So you'll remember that in the joint committee of basic education and telecommunication and postal services, we presented a report that says we are now at least sitting at 51% of our schools that are connected in this country. And for your information, that end us 2 places of improvement in the World Economic Forum. Because one of the criteria that the World Economic Forum measures the performance of education is the level of connectivity of schools. So I can say that the disparities are there, but the fact is, until the provincial executive councils of all the 9 provinces share the same view shared by Gauteng Provincial Executive Council, by Western Cape,
the disparities will exist. The last comment that I want to make, which was covered by Mr. Mpanza, I think the norms and standards that we are developing at GDE are going to help to address the concern that you have raised, Chair, of lack of uniformity in the implementation of SA-STEM. And I think it's the role of GDE in terms of the National Education Policy Act that we come up with norms and standards. There must be uniformity in the system so that the output at least moves towards the same. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I can see we still have follow-ups. Honorable Mugodo, any other follow-up questions? Okay, let me give you a chance to do your follow-up.
Chairperson. I want to thank the DG for the input, you know, together with his colleagues for the responses. But I also have questions. You know what, Lai? On the issue that you just raised, that you said was the decision of the CEM on early childhood development, I'm getting worried by the response that the DG gave us. When you say that CEM has decided that you must refine grade R first, and then you can go to the other age groupings within that target that we have highlighted. And you know, Chairperson, there are many items like this one. I don't know whether, you know, I'm getting torn into two now, but there are many items that I think that we should really pay attention to. Like when the minister said that there are non-negotiables, I think those non-negotiables, we must guard them and make sure that we implement them. For instance, issue of ICT, of course, there are financial constraints, but we should be going somewhere. And as this government, we have said that our priority is rural areas. And I think even the department has stated it quite clearly that rural development and rural education is a priority. But if you start saying that there is no money and then other provinces must improvise, and you know that there are competing interests in those provinces, because if people do not have water, sanitation, roads, they go to the same structures that we are supposed to be protecting, the schools. And it means that for us, even our budget for capital projects, we will never ever get to use it fully and get the value of it. For instance, like our city has been dragged back with the value of 24 or 25 schools in Buwan. And I think maybe it's high time that the department starts reprioritizing to say that we are going to count 1, 2, up to 10 to say that every day we mark out, we have a checklist, Chairperson, to say that this item, we are going to tick it off. And we mustn't come here and just report all the time and say that we are coming up with a plan. We must come up with implementation plan. You must tell us that this is what we have implemented. If we always talk about plans after plans, I think we are going to have a problem, Chairperson. Because even the provinces, they have realized that the national does not have teeth. GDE does not have teeth. They will just give us, they are just like a cow which cannot do anything. They will just milk the department, but they will never account to you. So I'm saying, Chairperson, let us agree that on the non-negotiables, on things that make this department tick, we are going to have a checklist. Every time when the department comes, they must tell us that this one we have resolved, and we go forward. we have agreed that there are things that we have to deliver in 5-year period. And that 5-year period, you look at incremental introduction of African languages, there is slow progress, Chairperson. You look at Karigude, I know that there is something that has been done, but if you look at the program now, as it goes to the end, it drags. So it means that we are reversing the progress that we have already made. I think that we must do something, Chairperson. If we say that ICT is the solution to a lot of the problems that we are having, why can't the National Department allocate funds for a certain period? In the same way, let's take the money from EPWP and use it to fund those programs if we can't get money from elsewhere. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think mostly what Honorable Mukoto is talking to DG are the concurrent functions of which maybe on an annual basis we need to have that discussion as a committee as to say what is it that the DB is supposed to be doing and what is it that the provincial department needs to be doing, because I think you will always recall, it's one of the things that I always say, that as long as all of us, we don't have that separation of powers as to say where does this belong, we'll always come and bash you on some of the things that you know very well that you don't have control over. Sometimes I like the topic that she's coming up with, because it points back to us as the legislators as to say what is it that is being gazetted, because this is a constitutional matter that is just bringing up. I know you'll throw it back to us because really the sentiment that she's raising, but I know the PG now is having a constitution in his hand. I know definitely what will be the response. Maybe, as I'm saying, it's more of a legal and a constitutional matter. Even us as members of parliament at this level, as to say, how do we make provinces to report? How do we make sure that we have them maybe once or twice under one roof where we can discuss these issues? Because as I'm saying, we always say, we keep on bashing you, whereas we know very well that it's not your competency to do some of these things that you are raising, but we'll continue to do so. We'll continue guiding each other up until we go back as the members of parliament to look at the clause of the constitution and say, in the departments like ours, what is it that we need to be doing? But yeah, thank you very much for the point that she has just raised. I know you want to respond, DG, on what has been raised. That was a follow-up response so that I can move towards the end.
Use a half a minute.
Yes.
I'm convinced, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that Honorable Mukoto and myself are talking past each other, particularly on the Great R matter. I said bringing the 3- and 4-year-olds into the physical, the primary schools. CEM said, wait first. Let's sort out the classrooms, the toilets, the facilities for grade R. Once we are done with that, if there is a desire to move them from the community sides that are now the responsible of social development, we can only do that once we have dealt with grade R. Leave them where they are, continue to service them. Carry out your responsibility as DBE, which is what we are doing. So let us just be clear on that one. Chair, I agree with you. And I'm sure you know that I always talk about the Monkey Valley. And these Monkey Valleys assist a lot. But now, and I don't want to quote the Constitution, because the Constitution is clear, but it makes our life even more difficult. Because if we are to follow the Constitution, 90% of the things that you are reporting about here belong to provinces. Because we don't implement, we are not an implementing agent. We are a policy development outfit, monitoring and support. But now, some of, for instance, ASIDI,
Delivery of infrastructure is not our responsibility. We are doing it because provinces like the Eastern Cape are unable to do it. That's why we are doing it there. But in terms of the constitution, it's not our function. But maybe the reason why I made reference to norms and standards, you see, norms and standards, Chair, help to delineate roles, to say, DBE, your role is this one. If provinces are not doing what they are supposed to do, in terms of Section 3 and Section 8 of the National Education Policy Act, what do? You take them to the National Council of Provinces. And the National Council of Provinces has got the authority to summon them, to come and appear before the NCOP and then respond to the underperformance that has been reported upon by DBE. So, Honorable Mokoto, we might look like toothless bulldogs, but we do have teeth. We do, but it takes long. It's the nature of our constitution. You need to give the province 3 months to respond. After that, you go to the NCOP. They have to go and report, I mean, respond to what they are supposed to report on to the NCOP. But we do have teeth. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yeah, as I'm saying, it's quite an interesting thing because even though the roles between us and the NCOP, sometimes we need to sit down and look at them and say, what are our limitations and how do the NCOP continue from where we can, you know, because, those are the, it's a very interesting thing to look at. Honorable members, we are supposed to be taking the last presentation now on second chance and NCS and SC supplementary examination. But the time now is 1. We're supposed to go to the house at 2. Allow me to say what I'm going to say now. DG, we're going to pack the presentation. We won't take it today. We're over ambitious to have these 3 presentations at the same time. Whilst when we had that fourth quarter report, the summary for the whole year, that took a lot of time with us. Our apologies for that, but I'm happy that we have done the quarterly reports where it warranted a huge delegation to come down and report on it. Can we then shift this presentation that on next week's program, we start with the last presentation that we couldn't take today, then we continue with the program for next week. Please.
So we agree on provision that you'll help us to motivate for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure when we come to report to you, because we've got 2 colleagues who came specifically on this. It's on a lighter note then.
No, we were going to agree on that one. That no, with that one we'll mark this day that they came and we requested that they come the following day. Otherwise, thank you very much, Honourable Members, for the good discussions that we had. Thank you very much, DG, with your delegation for the good presentation and the picture that you are painting and the clear understanding that we have on what is happening in the department. And continue with the good work that you are doing. Thank you very much for the meeting.